Committee on Senate Bill 323 and open a work session on Senate Bill 323. The purpose of the meeting is to consider proposed amendments to the A engrossed version of the bill. Legislative Council has drafted proposed conference committee amendments to SB 323, of which members have a copy. I'm going to ask Mr. Gallagher. Who else did you say, Senator Walker?
Ms. Brickman. Ms. Bryant.
Ms. Bryant forward. And Senator Walker, I know you've worked a lot on this for a long time. Maybe you give us just a brief overview of the amendment, and then we'll talk to those who helped put this together and see if we can reach accord.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Colleagues, when the bill came back over, I asked Senator Metzger not to concur, to give us some time to work on this and to try to remove some things and change some things around. So I had Mr. Gallagher come into my office, and we went over Section 9, and I was concerned that Section 9 was too broad in its language and that it would basically lead to an exemption of all people who did contract work with newspapers, and it would not get to the issue that Mr. Gallagher gave to me in his support of Senate Bill 323, where he said that these people who he was trying to get to as stringers are the master gardeners who submit garden stories and family members who send in the scores and photos of the away games. So we were trying to preserve the protections for those people who really were not independent contractors and were not employees. So we talked about it. I brought in Ms. Brickman and Ms. Bryant. We discussed the language, and the language you see is in the dash A11 amendment. And also, Mr. Chair, we do remove Section 11 of the bill, which allows the Speaker to appoint interim committees to study this further. We, as a task force, were not really interested in that. The committees can do that if they like. It doesn't need to be in statute. But, Mr. Chair, we met for a year, every month, in that basement room. We worked hard. This has been an issue I've worked on since 1999, and everyone came to the table, and I think we did some really phenomenal work. And with a small little tweak, I think we can finish out this bill and remove that Section 11. So that's where we're at.
Okay. Thanks for that overview. Mr. Gallagher, why don't you start and just, I think, address the... I think, first of all, that this amendment was placed in the House originally. So if you could briefly talk to us about why you believe that is an important amendment regarding the stringers, and then your comments on the language that your fellow colleagues on this amendment have put together, and if that still meets the needs that you feel are important.
Mr. Chair, Tom Gallagher, representing the Oregon Newspaper Publishers. First, I support 323. I think it's important, and I think the bill needs to pass. The Stringer Amendment is because there are a certain number, and I agree with Senator Walker, that the limitations and the additions to that makes the amendment work better and reflects more closely what we're actually talking about. Those individuals who work on their own, who submit articles as stringers or photographs to a newspaper, who do it on a regular intermittent basis without any expectation that their article will be automatically published and without the direction and control of the newspaper, those people should be allowed to receive some reimbursement. The reason why they don't fit under the definition of independent contractor is they don't really have to buy equipment. They don't work for more than one employer. They wouldn't have any office or setup of their own in their house because they're like somebody who's going to the out-of-town football game and sending back pictures and scores from the game. They have their camera there. They didn't buy the camera to do the work. They're not holding themselves out to work for anybody else. They're just submitting an article to a local newspaper that would be of value both to them as the submitter and to the local newspaper to make it more of a community newspaper. So I thoroughly support the additional language that Senator Walker's put in the bill, and do think it reflects the position we've always taken on newspaper and broadcast stringers.
We'll open to questions for a moment, I think, but I'll have one or both of you ladies maybe explain the material change in the amendment for the stringers and why you think this helps, because you guys crafted that language, I understand.
Chair Metzger, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Tamara Brickman. I'm legislative coordinator for the Oregon Employment Department. And we believe, and I unfortunately left my file at my, on my desk. I don't have an actual copy of the bill in front of me. But the reason why we chose this language is because it mirrors directly a portion of the definition in the independent contractor statute with respect to the freedom from direction and control. So it's just to directly parallel the language that's already in the bill rather than having a bunch of additional non-necessary verbiage put into the bill. So if you were to look at Senate Bill 323, Section, well, 323A, Section 1, oh, goodness, I'm having a hard time. The definition, well, in the definition, in sub 2, one of the definitions, it says, as used in ORS chapters 316, 656, 657, 671, so forth, A is free from direction control over the means and manner of providing the services. We just decided that that language, and that was in conversations with Senator Walker, that that's the language that Mr. Gallagher was interested in ensuring that we put in there so that we limit this exclusion to those people who are not under the direction and control of the newspaper, but that those people who are still under the direction and control of the newspaper or broadcast media station would still be considered employees and thus not lose their benefits.
Okay. I have one question. I'll open the questions to the committee. Mr. Gallagher, so if you are a newspaper writer and you are as a stringer, maybe 200 miles away from wherever you're, submitting information, would it be your interpretation and the interpretation of the Employment Department that I would not be an employee if, in fact, I was simply submitting an article and it was taken on that value, I was not given direction to cover an event, told how to cover the event, edited that, and so that we would not be converting an employee into a quote stringer and avoiding paying those associated taxes with that, that this would be strictly for those who were submitting independently and without a direct relationship with an editor on both the topic and the type of way in which the story would be put together.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, yes, that's my understanding of the amendment.
Questions from the committee? Senator Byer.
Thank you. Wouldn't it be fair to say that in any small business there are going to be people who are going to get caught, as have been happening in the past, as they're not truly an employee, but they don't meet the definition of an independent contractor, so yet they get counted as an employee, but they don't have a lobbyist to come forward and bring them a certain exemption for their industry?
Mr. Chair, Senator Byer, thank you for that promotional advertisement. My answer to that is my understanding of Oregon law, you are either an employee or an independent contractor. And so you're one or the other. What we've done here is define somebody as not being an employee because they don't meet the independent contractor. I sat through a number of hearings, and I'm sure Senator Walker and the committee sat through a number of other discussions, and I think Representative Derek Kitts did a very good job of asking each of the people who came forward looking for a similar type of arrangement that I have, and there were a number of them, that they were different. Each and every one of them did not meet the same standard and criteria that Senator Metzger laid out as being the guidelines for a stringer. So it is my feeling that, despite the limited skill of their lobbyists, that these are a very unique and particular group of human beings. If there are any other people like this, I am sure that, having watched this one amendment come in, they will go hire a lobbyist and come forward and try to do the same.
Oh, well, Mr. Chair, newspaper carriers, they have an exemption in statute. We passed an exemption this session for independent truck drivers who aren't really employees. So it gets to the point that if we've got a statute that isn't written correctly, and people who have the ability to hire a lobbyist can come hire a lobbyist and get them exempted, it tells me we don't have a statute that's constructed properly.
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, in the 25 years I've been doing this, I think that We are all limited by our ability to write down a set of words that cover every possible situation and circumstance. And we do try very hard on both sides, the lobbyists, the agencies, and the legislators, to try and foresee those circumstances or cover those. It is true there are a number of anomalies in this area of employee and independent contractor. There are federal exemptions, and there are other craftings, either by case law or something else, where decisions have been made about certain employees. I don't know how to solve that problem.
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess I would solve the problem by just defining it. You go through the process and you by case law, and that's the situation. But it bothers me. I'm not going to oppose these amendments. I'm not going to oppose the bill. But it bothers me that we made an attempt, and Senator Walker and I have been working on it, Senator Walker since 99, myself since 97, in this area of law. We finally, after last session, came up with a consensus bill that we were going to, try to redefine the process and make it fair and work for everyone, and then we stick an exemption in it. And why do we stick an exemption in it? Because the people who wanted the exemption buy ink by the barrel. Kind of the same reason we got a newspaper carrier exemption. It bothers me that we've taken a bill that was a product, and because one little group that doesn't quasi-fit the definition, and they don't want to go through the process like any one of us would have to, or any one of our employees or independent contractors would have to, they get an exemption. That concerns me about this, why we're here.
Further questions? Representative Brown.
I don't go back to 97 or 99. I go only back to 2001. And my experience was with a small business that was up in the coastal range between Junction City and Florence. It was called Laughing Rabbit Incorporated. And they assembled small little flashlights that keep... Mm-hmm. Flashlights that you have on your key ring, and they were partially utilizing some what they considered to be independent contractors that worked out of their home. They found out they didn't meet the definition then, and I worked very hard in 2001 and then again in 2003 session to try to bring some resolution to that issue. And apparently I wasn't a very good lobby. I neither got them an exemption or got a change in the statutes. And so they're still having their problems with that issue. And I think, that apparently exemptions must be part of the statutes and are an acceptable part of the statutes, whether you want it or not. It's part of the way we do business in this building, and not only with these here, but in other ways and in other sets of the statutes. I know there's carves out for exemptions. This bill is a very good product from a group that worked very hard during the interim to put together something that brings a little more common sense to a very difficult issue. As I said in our hearings in our committee, that I was warned by Bob Shiprack to stay away from this tar baby, because once you got a hold of it, you could never get turned loose from it. And I think probably that was good advice. And I think we've probably done about as good a job as we can expect to do with be expected of us. And I'm very pleased with the product, and I'm willing to go along with the amendments or the amendment to the amendments and pass this bill and move it on. I think it's important. We need it.
Thank you, Representative. Further questions? Representative Esposito.
Yes, it's not a question. I just think that this is, we're talking 97, 99, 01. This thing's been around this building for quite some time. But I'm not sure that if you had 20 people in this room, that you wouldn't have 20 different slants on what an independent contractor is, period. I'm a realtor. I have a whole different outlook on what an independent contractor is. A stringer would have a different one. A carrier would have a different one. I just think that it's a working document. I think it's a good document. I think it's something that a lot of work has gone in. But I don't think that it'll ever satisfy everyone. I really don't. I think it's something that it would be the elusive goal that we may never, ever attain. So that's just from the new kid looking in. is what I'm telling you.
Well, I think Representative, what Senator Beyer was saying, and Representative Brown, I think his testimony, in fact, they've been working on it for so long that trying to find language that covers commerce under one umbrella becomes very, very difficult. Appreciate all the work you guys have done on that. Yes, Representative Holbrook.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did have a couple of questions. I was curious on this A11 amendment, why we're able to identify a stringer that is an independent contractor yet only works for one entity, one newspaper. And so that kind of bothers me. It doesn't seem like they're out there contracting with the public. They're directly working for one issue. So I agree with Senator Beyer. This exemption kind of bothers me because it goes against everything else that's out there and that I see, and it seems like they're not complying with everything that every other industry complies with, because they are just working for one employer. And that in itself right there kind of throws up a red flag for me that, you know, they're not an independent contractor because they're not providing services to other newspapers or other radio stations or other media services or whatever. And then along with that, you know, there's no threshold of how much money they make from that one independent newspaper or TV or whatever. It seems like there should be a limit to, I mean, if you're making thousands of dollars every month, you know, at what point does that person become an employee and not an independent contractor? And that seems very muddied with this amendment to me. It just seems like somebody could be working full-time for one newspaper every day and still be an independent contractor under this amendment. And I was opposed to this amendment in our committee, but I am in favor of this bill. I think it's a good bill and needs to move forward. But I have extreme reservations about allowing this amendment as an exemption in because of the precedent itself that sets throughout the rest of commerce, I guess.
I appreciate your comments tonight. That was one of the issues when we were talking about this in terms of I was thinking of some kind of dollar threshold, but it was the direction and control issue that I think you folks decided would be a better way to get at that. Is what you want to comment on, Representative Holby's comments?
Mr. Chair, Senator Metzger, Representative Holby, I want to put on the record that in none of the discussions I've had, and there have been many with the newspapers, anybody who is making a living or even a part-time living off trying to be a stringer is going to fall afoul of direction and control, because no individual wandering around out there could produce enough articles that would be accepted without direction and control to actually hit the bullseye every time. When you are gathering news in the fashion that you are talking about, you're going to have an editor involved, you're going to be involved in some activity. What we're really talking about here are people for whom this is not a job or not an income. This is a reimbursement. This is an add-on. If the master gardener sends in a gardening article because they want to be in the paper and they get $25 or they get paid by the line for it once a week, that's not a living. If those people are out making a living by submitting articles to different places or doing this kind of work, they are going to qualify as independent contractors. If their stuff is on a website, if they're working for multiple employers, we're talking about somebody who lives in Cottage Grove, who's doing some stuff for the local Cottage Grove paper, who does it on their own, who goes to the school board and then submits a write-up on the school board meeting that the paper wouldn't have other than that. The paper doesn't ask them to do it and doesn't say we're going to print your stuff automatically or even print your stuff as you write it. We'll put in an item and we'll edit it and print it and pay you only by the lines that we print. That's something they are submitting on their own. If they are under direction and control, if they're asked to do that, if they're helped to do it, if they're told how to do it, we expect them to be treated as employees.
Follow-up question? Thank you. So in light of that, why wouldn't we want to put some sort of dollar threshold that if you exceed this, you're considered an employee? If this is just an occasional submission and doesn't make a living wage, I mean, that kind of bothers me a little bit, that we're putting some people in a position of being a permanent independent contractor, and yet, yeah, I understand who you're trying to address this to, but I worry about the person that's going to actually be abused by this somewhat if they're continually submitting articles every week, and they should be making a living wage perhaps and spending a lot of time doing this. I don't know, I just, there's not a clear line there for me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holvey, if you were to sit down and write articles and churn articles out and try to make a living by submitting articles to the Register Guard that they had not directed you to, and you were to try and get paid on a line item basis to do that to make any kind of a living, you would fail. Not just you.
They don't print things.
It's not the nature of this business. That is not the way that it works. There are all sorts of articles that they get through their subscription service. There's Associated Press. There are other ways they pay for articles, and they're their own reporters. These are incidental articles, incidental photos. These are things that come about naturally. And so it is not somebody that where you would sit down and say, what is it, $600 a quarter, $1,000 a quarter? It doesn't lend itself to any kind of a dollar amount like that. Any dollar amount you picked wouldn't have any relevance to what the work they do. That's why we didn't go that direction. That's why we went to, does the editor ask you to do this? Are they? And there are cases on direction control that the agency has. Senator Walker and I went over some of those, and I agree that all of those cases would not be exempted under this amendment.
I don't know if that answered my question about the dollar amount, but, you know, given that these people don't make a living wage doing this and therefore they're independent contractors, it seems to me that your argument leads us, or would lead me to say, well, then if you're being paid excess of this amount of money, then you should be considered an employee and not an independent contractor. I'd like, you know, maybe somebody else to comment to that after Tom gets a chance at me.
Representative Holvey, I don't really know how to answer that question in a sense, because what dollar amount would you set, and why would, you know, just going over that threshold would automatically make them an employee. No editor would ever go over that threshold, so I don't think you solve the problem of that worker.
Okay.
If that person is a worker, and I don't think they are, I think they're just getting reimbursed for incidentals.
Anybody else want to comment on that?
Well, I would like to, Mr. Chair, because that was discussed, and I contacted Mike Taylor, who's the publisher and editor of the Tri-County News in Junction City, because he's a small newspaper, and they're the ones who see a lot of these mom-and-pop people sending in these articles, and he indicated, because I asked him if that dollar amount issue would work for him, and he wrote me an email back and said, it would be too difficult. It doesn't adjust for inflation. It also puts it, makes it difficult for him to determine whether that person has sold something else to another newspaper within the quarter, and then he becomes liable to figure out if they went over the $1,000 threshold. So we danced around that, tried to work with it, and just found that this was the cleanest way to do it, is just stay with existing language within the statute. And it gets us where we want to be in a fully cognizant of Senator Byers' concern about these exemptions. They're the reality. But we've taken a long time to try to fix this law, and I think we've done some really good work here that should try to ease the problems that we have with people who are truly independent contractors, making sure they stay that way, or employees and employers understanding who's what, and, you know, not getting dinged for trying to do the right thing, and having the departments be a little more proactive in trying to describe and offer services ahead of time so that we really can meet the needs of the changing work environment in Oregon.
Further questions?
Final comment. I guess it does set a precedent. It sets precedent if you hire the right lobbyist, you get your exemption. And I just thought of the other one we did this session. It was for the
AmeriCorps.
So, if you do politically correct work, you can get an exemption.
Well, that's a very valid point. I would say, however, it is, as Representative Brown pointed out, it's commonplace having shared transportation as we go through our DMV code, and many folks, and there are some are lobbyists and some are legislators who wanted to get their trucks exempted from this or my farm truck exempted for that. I mean, so and I'm sure, Senator, with business and other committees you've had at different other areas, there's a lot of different exemptions that come in, and you know, mostly for good reasons, I would say, is the reason we exempt from different parts of law. And it would be better, though, I agree with you, if we could ever come up with that magic stroke that just covered everything exactly right and didn't provide some, you know, negative factor for whether it's the Junction City News or the Molalla Pioneer or whatever. And we want those people to get taken care of. I will say for the record, however, I did talk to some of our compatriots in the building from the Oregonian and asked if they wanted to come and testify on this amendment, that they all declined.
Mr. Chair, I mean, the important thing, I think, and the thing that got us in, got people, not us, not legislators, but business people and independent contractors confused over the years, is an unequal treatment by different agencies. And if nothing else, this bill will hopefully direct all three of these agencies, revenue, employment, workers' comp, to use the same test and come to the same conclusion, because that is what's gotten us these issues in front of the legislature. When an independent contractor qualifies under workers' comp, qualifies under revenue, and doesn't under unemployment, or vice versa, that is when we've gotten. So hopefully this bill will make it so that if one agency is determined that a person is or isn't, the other agencies will determine the same thing.
And that is the great work that you all did in bringing as much consistency as possible to that. Appreciate that. Further comments or questions from the committee? Okay, then we are in a work session on Senate Bill 323, and we do have a -A11 before us.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the -A11 amendment to Senate Bill 323.
Senator Walker has moved the -A11 amendment to Senate Bill 323. Further comment on the amendment?
Love them.
Anyone opposed? Okay. The amendment is so ordered.
And I think there's a script now.
Mm-hmm. Well, we
to pass the bill.
Right.
Mr. Chair, I move the Senate concur in the House amendment dated June 8th and that the bill be further amended and repassed.
Okay. Senator Walker has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments that were dated June 8th and that the further amendments just passed be adopted and the bill repassed. Any further discussion? Any objection? So ordered. Carrier on the House side will be Representative Brown.
Mm-hmm.
And Senator Walker will carry on the Senate side. Nothing else to come before the conference committee?
I just want to say I've really appreciated working with Representative Brown on this, and I'm glad we're saying goodbye to it.
That's nice to be back on committee with you, Representative Brown. All right, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Woo-hoo!